Hey y'all, Maddie K here. I don't know what happened to my audio on this one, but I checked and double checked and it was all fine. And then I went to edit and it was all fucked up. So just bear with me. Our guest's audio is outstanding as always. And it was so awesome that I forgot to let him plug anything. So Mr. Bird Archist, go check him out on the Fagcast. Links in the show notes. Let's get to the show. Hey y'all, welcome back to Erase the State. Still co-hostless this week. Mikey Two Names is somewhere in the sky, I think, coming back to the States from Belize. I have no fucking clue. But
what?
Yeah, exactly. Shut the fuck up before I introduce you, dude. All right, so this week we have the man who puts the fag in Fagcast, the girthy boy himself, Murda. What's up, man?
Oh, hi. How are you? Thank you for that. That was a really kind introduction. Hold on now. Your co-host is missing in Belize.
Yeah, he's on like his 18th vacation of the year, I think.
Oh my God. And he chose to go to Belize.
That's cheap.
And now he's lost. What do you think he's doing down there?
Based on his Instagram and Facebook stories, I think he's getting drunk and banging his hot Brazilian wife.
There you go. I was going to say, fine, good enough.
Yeah.
Well, that solves that mystery.
Yeah. So he's in Belize, you're in Queens. What's the haps in Queens?
Oh my God, nothing is the haps in Queens. Jersey City happened. That was a thing, and we got like a whole lot of blowover because of that.
So that's been the latest thing. Maybe we should talk about
that. Do you know anything about it? Because I can't confidently talk about it.
Well, I was hoping you could because you're close. But yeah, I just saw it happen, and I've been like really fucking stressed out this week with work and shit. So I haven't really paid attention to any news, which is about like usual anyway. So I just saw that something popped off. And then I guess there was some leak.
Oh no.
What?
New York Times live updated 1 minute ago. The article says Jersey City shooting suspect linked to black Hebrew Israelite group.
Yes. I was going to get there. So at first it came out that I guess it was like some DEA drug deal, some bullshit that went south.
What?
And then they came out that it was like, oh, actually, sorry, it's black Hebrew nationalists or whatever.
What?
So.
Oh, no.
I guess they've gone from fucking with high school kids to, like, shooting up cops. So,
dude, was it cops? I thought, who was killed? I forgot.
Well, they shot up a bodega, which I guess maybe was owned by some Jewish guys. And now they're trying to some sort of like anti-Semitic.
Let me throw this link to you, because I feel like if Skype made sense. Do you hate Skype? I hate Skype. What do you feel about Skype? While I'm trying to figure out how to send you this.
I don't know. I'm like 87 years old, so Skype.
It's ridiculous. Skype makes me feel so fucking old.
Yeah, I mean, I never really used it, and actually, one job ago, I worked at this Italian valve company, and they wanted to interview me. Yeah, HR in Italy wanted to interview me on Skype, right?
It's called sausage casings.
Yes. Well, oh, fuck, you sent me this, and I don't know how to get back to where I can see a message.
I'm trying to figure it out, too, to be fair. I really, what do you do?
Well, at any rate, they interviewed me, and they were like, yeah, we're going to do it on Skype, but we need to know what your Skype name is. And I was like, I don't fucking know what my Skype name is.
Wow, yeah. Man, they got you signing on to Skype to do interviews. I mean, I hear a lot of people do that, but that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of terrible. You know,
I feel like they try and do that shit so that they can figure out what your username is for shit.
Most
so that
likely.
They can look you up, you know what I mean?
Which mine is.
All right, so. Mine the assailant. So what happened here? So there was six people were shot and killed in a kosher market. There was also a shooting at a cemetery, then a gun battle.
Yes.
Two members of the Hasidic community and one worker were killed. A neighbor knew one of the suspects and saw a change. Well, that's very ominous. I clicked out. Assailant had links to Black Hebrew Israelites. Oh, God, how do you even say that? Black Hebrew Israelites. So do you think, Maddie, here's the question, because I don't know why I consider you like an East Coaster, but I just do. You're very much like me in a lot of ways. You look at the world very similarly to the way I do.
Maybe it's not that I'm an East Coaster, which I find highly offensive, but maybe it's that you're more of a Texan.
No, that I find that highly offensive. I think of you as a compatriot, and I have to ask you, do you know who the Black Hebrew Israelites are?
So the short answer is no, but okay. there's a caveat here because sure. I actually have a friend who I went to, like, I think I've probably known him since we were like in second grade. He actually is, I think, a member of Hebrew Israelites now.
You really got to be dedicated to it.
Well, he used to post on Facebook all the time. Like, now he's wearing like robes and has this big ass beard and shit. And he posts all the mm-hmm. time about how like white people came down from the Caucasus Mountains and fucked everything up. And
well, yeah. We did. I mean, sure did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it's not very a persuasive argument.
Right.
I always said about it like that. It's like, yeah, we sure did. We sure did. I don't know.
So what of it, bucko?
Yeah, like, what do you want me to do about it? Yeah, I don't know. Luckily I don't have to worry about that. As you know, I am Italian.
Right.
I could probably
join the Black
My own coming down from mountains and conquering people problems, but that's not what... I don't know. So I just wanted to ask if you knew who these guys were, because... like, if you're from New York, you know these guys.
I was going to say, I've got to imagine that you know a lot more about this than I do.
I don't know. I really can't speak to the theology. I guess they are Jews, right? I guess there's some kind of, some form of Judaism is being practiced, I think.
I think I saw a tweet today that Ben Shapiro put out that said that they are not Jews.
You know what? That's like me going, oh, yeah, those guys aren't Christian. Like, I have a real, I don't know what to say, like a real investment in making sure that they aren't the same thing as me. So I don't know how much I trust Ben on that. And unfortunately, New York Times is a piece of shit website that I can't navigate through.
Luckily, facts don't care about your feelings. So.
That's right. They sure don't. They sure fucking do not, Ben. These guys have always been, for me, a joke, right? The way that they dress, the way that they, I don't know, I saw a Louis Theroux documentary one time, and I was about 95% sure that the guys were messing with Louis, but like, Louis was asking them, about whether or not there were certain historical figures and whether or not they were black. And yeah. He asked him if Abraham Lincoln was black. And the guy was like, yes, Abraham Lincoln was black.
Oh my God.
And that wasn't, you know, Joan of Arc was black. Like it was like, couldn't have been in any way serious. But I also don't feel like Louis Theroux misrepresented them, because he kind of went to their headquarters in New York City. So, you know, I think they were just messing around with him. Regardless, that's the vibe I get from them, that they're kind of just a joke. So I still don't recommend anybody who goes to New York City and meets them to do not talk to them, do not interact with them or engage with them, because you never know. I mean, they're lunatics, right? Like, a lot of them are like straight up lunatics.
So if one wanted to find them, where would one go?
You would go to Times Square. I mean, that's... Oh.
I didn't see any when I was there. Either time.
Maybe they're starting to, like...
I did see some naked chicks in Times Square.
I was going to say, drive them out. Wrong choice of words.
That is problematic language, sir.
expel them.
I guess the city of New York finally came up with a solution.
Oh, the subway cars. I knew they would be my guy. Yeah, I don't know, man. These guys have always been a joke to me, so it's just crazy to see. Now, what was the other thing that happened with them? It was much more innocuous than this. It was the Catholic school kids, right? That's what it was?
That's really all I know. Other than, I mean, yeah. I've heard about them off and on over the years, right? But all I really knew about was Covington and then this.
Yeah, the Covington is what it was. Yeah. That's a totally different thing than this. That's right. Like, that was like in the midst of, again, we'll bring him up again, the Ben Shapiro moment of kind of going out and owning teenagers. And the left reacted to that and started trying to own a bunch of, like, right teenagers. And I guess that those Catholic school kids were what they viewed as right teenagers, I guess. So this incident is, like, a completely different thing. I don't know. And we're probably talking about it too much for, number one, how little we know. And, number two, like, how little this probably connects to anything other than, you know, itself. Like, this is not a part of a major conspiracy theory. Well, I don't think, at least.
We should probably get Paz on the line and see what he says.
I actually did see one person on Twitter who I will not name. And it wasn't really ridiculous for them to say this because, like, it's kind of an interesting topic for them. But somebody did say, you know what, they orchestrated this so that they could smear hoteps. I have no opinion on that. Like, I don't have any personal opinion on it because but I saw that. And I just want to let you know that that's floating around out there that somebody believes that there was a red flag. It was a red flag incident used to smear the Hotep community, which, like, again, I refuse to comment, but that is something I feel that I should bring up.
Is there an overlap between Black Hebrew Israelites and the Hoteps?
This is what I saw, Maddie. Okay. I don't know. I would say no, because a lot of people that I know to consider themselves Hoteps are nothing like Black Hebrew Israelites.
Accurate.
But also, I really don't know what Black Hebrew Israelites believe other than what I've seen on television. So I don't know if somebody who's more involved with it could see that as a connection, or maybe the news story that they were talking about tried to make that a connection.
Yeah.
But this is what I saw. This is what I saw.
Man.
Okay. Now, I remember not too long ago when Black Lives Matter was a big thing. You remember that they started to put black identitarian movements on the terror list?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do.
And they were like a ball hair away from declaring BLM to be a terror organization because – like, that's really what they tried. It was black identitarian things they all banned, which was, like, wild to me that was the thing at that moment that they decided had to be banned and let that be known to the public at that time. Like, right in the middle of the statue thing happened. Like, right. You remember all that? You remember those?
I remember vividly all of this. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are like the early days. Like of whatever
fucking
we find ourselves
salad
in.
Salad days, man. Like, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. We're different people. So anyway, that's a take that I saw as far as conspiracy theories go, because that's what we got onto. But this just we're probably talking about it too much. And we really aren't making mention of the fact that, like, people were genuinely, like, shot down and killed.
Yeah,
people died. Here, and that's really sucks. But from my perspective, that's one thing that, you know, I've kind of already dealt with, right? I've gone, that really sucks. And then there's nothing more that I can do other than say my prayers.
Right.
But beyond that, like, I have to look at the Black Hebrew Israelites and just go that that's nuts. They're just like a laughing stock. They're a joke most of the time. And frankly, I'm very hesitant to. Like, I don't know what the link between this shooter and the Black Hebrew Israelites actually is. But like I've the only thing I ever thought about Black Hebrew Israelites was if you like if you taunt them, they will fight you. Right? So like and honestly, fair enough, right? Like fair enough. I mean, even though they kind of taunt everybody else,
yeah.
That's kind of that's the novelty of them at this point,
right.
Which is unfortunate if they really believe what they're saying, that they've become a novelty. But fortunate for me, because I don't like them. So there's a whole lot of like I don't know, Maddie. There's a whole lot of complicated things that I feel about this situation.
I can tell.
No, the only thing that's not complicated is that it really does suck. But there's a whole lot of like areas that I want to look into and figure out. You know, what the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, is it becoming a terror organization? Like, no, I don't think it is. It's kind of always just been a tourist attraction, from what I know. So I don't know.
I don't know. I'm a little upset that I didn't get any literature shoved in my face.
No, yeah, when you went there, you didn't get any literature. So did you ever end up talking about the New York trip?
I don't think so. Other than that, it just happened.
So I was gonna say, maybe I could interview you.
Yeah, maybe. Please take it. It's the bird takeover of Erase the State.
The name of the show is Erase the State. That's very vulgar. You know, you may have to change that at some point. It could be very offensive to certain people. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, oh man, when he says Erase the State, I'm going to stop him and I'm going to go, whoa, what kind of extremist radio program is this?
I'll have you know that Mike Meharry himself told me he loves the name.
Well, it is a great name.
There you go.
Not for the norms.
Yes. Well, anyway, we only have a couple. Speaking of
not for the norms. So you decided to come to New York in the summertime.
Yeah.
And it was probably hotter up here than it was from whence you came.
Accurate. It was.
You can see you came from Texas.
Yeah.
You went up. You went north.
Yeah.
I don't know where Texas is longitudinally, like I don't know where that is, but I do know that New York is on the same latitude, perhaps is what it's called. It's on the same latitude as Spain. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, because I always thought Spain, which it kind of probably is like this. I always thought Spain was like this, like arid, almost mostly desert, or not desert, but shrubland, like a lot like Texas, like what I imagine Texas is like. But apparently New York is on that latitude. Texas is probably down like,
let me look here,
I don't know where, like Northern Africa probably.
So according to my Google map,
yes,
we line up with like, yeah, Morocco, like Algeria, Libya,
yeah.
Yeah,
so it's, which by the way is really insane when you think about that too. I mean, because like if we're where Spain is and you're where Algeria is, that's just across an ocean for them.
Right.
Which is kind of fucking wild. But also, just the point being, I didn't know this. And then that summer really kind of put it into perspective that we are not. Like, New York gets cold. It can get into the negatives. And that's not as cold as, like, some of the northern states. But we are not what I consider to be a northern state. We're not in the south. And we're pretty high up. But we're under New England. We're kind of just, especially where New York City is, we're kind of, like, in the middle of the, like, we're like, just slightly above the middle of what I would be considered, like the temperature spectrum, right?
I'm
but
with you.
It gets so fucking cold here. And then in the summer, it's like 104 degrees sometimes.
Yes.
It is ridiculous.
And what had to have been like 99.5% humidity.
And that is the worst part is, I don't know about in Texas, but I know that in some of the, I don't know what that region is called, actually to the west of Texas, that whole like New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, whatever that region is called. At least that's what I thought would be dry heat, right?
Well,
that's what everybody says.
So out there, yeah, because that's like, so, you know, once you approach the Rockies, right, you kind of get into like high altitude desert for the most part.
Sure.
It's dry, so it'll get hot, but like, you know, your sweat actually does its intended purpose. But where I live, in the coastal plains just west of Houston.
Oh, I'm sure it's a mess.
It's very green, it's very lush, and it also gets to like 104 degrees and like 99.5% humidity.
Yeah, so, I hate it. I really hate that a lot. If I could choose the perfect environment, it would be like Afghanistan. It's just dry as a bone. There's like no trees. I don't want or need trees. A couple shrubs and a lot of like mountainous terrain. And I would feel very
and
at home.
Just like a good goat and a wife that you can rape.
Well, hold on. Flip those around.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, the goat comes first.
Oh, man. That's like having a girlfriend and a wife on the side.
For sure. Yeah, that would be my optimal temperature. It would be something just like bone dry and really unpleasant. I'm okay with that because I sweat like a pig. Like it could be.
Oh, dude,
do you know about this? I ruined some
shirts and a hat while I was in New York.
Oh yeah, man, it's atrocious. I'm a big lad, you know. I'm a hefty lad. I'm shapely. I'm not tremendous. I'm shapely. You can ask the people who've met me, but I am a shapely lad, and I sweat like an animal. So, today the temperature was actually warm for December. Today it was something like in the 40s, despite having snowed earlier in the morning, which is just Jesus. Wild. So I'm telling you, the temperature is just crazy. So it's 40s. And I'm sweating. I have swamp ass today as I'm walking around. What the heck? Do you know what I mean? Like, that is outrageous.
As a heavy sweater, I do know what you mean.
Swamp ass is like, I don't know what the evolutionary purpose of swamp ass is, but like, I'm more evolved than other people because it is tremendous how much sweat comes out of my lower back. Like it has a, it's almost like it has a mouth. It's ridiculous. it's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah. So what else about the New York trip?
Yeah. What did you do? What did you see sights and did you enjoy what you saw?
You know, so we were there for my son, right, to play baseball up in Cooperstown or near Cooperstown. We were in Oneonta.
Sure.
So after all that was over, said and done, we went up to fucking Niagara Falls for a while and then came back down to the city. And yeah, I mean, you know, it was hot as fuck and the hotel room had a busted AC. So it was just like blowing like lukewarm, hot, wet air into the room, which was just, I mean, just, you know, a peach. And we saw, I don't know, we had to go down to fucking, you know, the World Trade Center, and we saw the holes in the ground, and
why? I gotta be honest with you. I do not, I saw one of the towers fall, obviously the first one. I saw it happen. I will never forget it. I have an apartment building that faced it. I was watching it as it disappeared from the horizon.
That's wild.
I don't understand why anyone, I guess unless it's some sort of a therapeutic thing, why anyone would go to see that. Because it, to me, it's just pure tragedy. And it's not like detached tragedy. Like I could go see I would get choked up, but I could go see the Vietnam War Memorial. Like I could go and see that.
Well, nothing
and
happened there.
Actually, I have seen it. Like it's overwhelming to see. Like it's a perfectly created monument to describe what it's supposed to be describing, which is this is how many people we lost for nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a blank. It's just a big slate that goes all the way across with the names listed. It's incredible. But I'm more detached from that, right?
Yeah, like well, and nothing,
and also,
nothing happened where
there.
The monument is.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Nothing happened there. That's right. Decade and – oh, God, no. 2 decades ago. Holy shit. That's crazy. Nearly 2 decades ago, shit was happening in that spot. So it is. It's a little too – I don't – I don't know why anybody would go and see that other than like to get out, you know, some therapeutic thing, which
for I us, have not I think, found myself. I don't know. I think the wife was just checking a box for the kids for some unknown reason. I don't know.
That's what's so interesting to me is like that moment is becoming a box checking moment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, which is crazy to me. I'm not against that. That it inevitably will happen to every single thing. I mean, it happens at Auschwitz, for Christ's sake.
Sure.
It's a box-checking moment for people. Although that's still so somber that you go there and you're checking off a box. People look at you funny.
Right.
But, yeah, and I don't have a problem with it at all. It's just that is so interesting to me that, like, you know, I'm still young. But I remember this world-changing event, whether you like it or not, that event changed almost the whole world.
Absolutely.
Maybe not the Eastern world, but it certainly changed the whole of the West, and it certainly, because of that, changed the Middle East forever.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean? It's just a huge moment, and I can look at it and remember when it happened and look at the changes from before, even though I was very young, to after. So it's like, it's amazing to me that people are already becoming detached from that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of humbling to be like, yeah, world's going to just keep fucking moving and your tragedies are going to be part of a history book someday and a part of a podcast that some guy like dramatizes over in order to, you know what I mean?
Right,
but this is what happened to the Romans. This is what happened to we do this all the way up to, you could probably get away with doing it to the Troubles, which was in the 80s. You could probably get away with dramatizing a podcast about the Troubles, even though like terror attacks, people died. It was in the 80s. I guess we'll get full dramatic mode maybe 20 or 30 more years from now on that, where it's just like part of the cultural history. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was, you know, like even for me, like I'm very detached from it. I watched it all happen on the news before a college class, and it was just like, wow, that's terrible. But I had never been to New York before. I didn't know anybody who worked there, you know, in the trade centers. So it was just kind of like, like it was a terrible thing that happened. It's like the fucking San Francisco earthquake. Like, yeah, a fuck ton of people died, but it's like, that's over there. Like, it doesn't affect me. Like, I saw it, but
do they have a monument for that?
I don't know. Probably. It's probably covered in fucking human shit, but. Too much.
To be honest, I'm surprised the 9/11 memorial isn't covered
in complete
shit.
It's actually very clean, but it's
still new.
I don't know if you've been down there, but yeah, it's still new, and they still got the price tags on everything. The kids, it started pouring rain while we were there, right? Like standing outside of it, so we had to run to the nearest building. So the kids were more amused by the Spotify office than they were with the memorial. So.
Well, good. I mean, they should be more amused with
that. Right. Right.
So I mean, yeah, personally, I don't know. I'm one of those guys who's like, I could really do without memorials, right? Like,
right,
I think we will memorialize as a culture those things that we decide to pass on to our kids, right?
Sure.
Otherwise, I mean, that's what all of history fucking did before they started writing shit down. It's also just very uncomfortable. Like that, it still carries a whole lot of weight in this city. Like every September, there's like they put banners up over like all over the place, and there's it still really deeply affects this city. I don't know. I was gonna say I can't even think of an event similar that happened in Texas, but I sure know that if one did, I would probably be like, that sucks for Texas, man. That's like
Sucks. I mean. I don't know. I guess the only thing that we have that's kind of like this, I don't know, like pseudo-religious experience, like as far as memorials and stuff like that, is probably the Alamo.
Well, the Alamo, I don't actually know anything about the Alamo. So,
well,
a heroic thing or like a
Yeah, so that was like thing. Where, and I forget how many defenders were there. Like we call them the defenders of the Alamo, right? So it was during the war for independence between Texas, which was a Mexican state at the time, and Mexico. Uh-huh. So they had this tyrant, he was like a general president. And
I stop you briefly?
Sure.
People always say we stole Texas from Mexico. Is that accurate?
I don't know.
Okay.
I
don't know if the Alamo has anything to do with that because you just said that the Texas declared independence.
Yeah. We did.
Which means did not join the U.S. So then what happened after
that? Well, so the Alamo happens before independence and all that, right? So it was during the war for independence for Texas, but, so there are several men stationed there. It was a mission in San Antonio, which is kind of like this little backwater town on like the San Antonio River or whatever, right? But it's kind of where a lot of things came to a head. So
home of the Spurs, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. See, and I wanted to brief aside here. I was so excited because the Rockets were beating the fucking Spurs the other night, and I was like, this is great because Bird's gonna come on, and I'm gonna be able to tell him to suck my fucking dick because the Rockets beat the Spurs, which he has no reason to like. No reason to like. Other than to stick in my crawl. It's
so
true.
The reason why I like the Spurs is so fucking Zoomer. It's so my generation. Oh God. The reason. Do you want to know the reason why I like the Spurs? And I'm not a bandwagoner, so I stick with the teams throughout whatever. Even if they lose, I just won't watch the games. But I will not pretend to be another team, like a fan of another team. I like the Spurs because I think it was NBA 2K12. Okay? I wanted to branch out.
I already hate this story.
This is a great story. 2K12, so that would have probably put me – maybe it was 2K14. I was in high school at the time.
Oh, my God.
So I was in high school at the time. I wanted to, like, start liking sports. I didn't like any sports, no sports at all. And I just wanted to start liking sports because I think I figured it would probably help me talk to people, which it eventually did. It worked. Yes. So it helped. So I bought a video game because I love video games. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to like learn about, you know, a sport through a video game, which I picked up 2K and I played it, which is the basketball game.
Right.
So I played it, and actually this 2K game, so people can look this up. I don't remember which one it was, but you can find out easily. The two cover players were LeBron James and Tim Duncan.
I
knew who LeBron James was.
M.E.D.
And I love LeBron James like as a contributor to like basketball history, but I hate LeBron James. You know what I mean? Like I refuse to like LeBron James because he is so good, but I really appreciate him. So I was like, okay, well, I can't root for LeBron's team, so I'm just gonna root for this guy's team.
And yeah, it was
the Spurs. And it was the Spurs. And so I just was like, okay, the Spurs are my team now. That's it. They are my team. And they've been that way ever since.
So
it's a completely pointless, like, there's no, like, I wasn't like, my dad, he's from San Antonio, or like something like, oh, you know, one time a player rescued me from a bullet wound. There's nothing. It was nothing like that. It was quite literally social awkwardness propelled me to liking the Spurs, which is good because a lot of the Spurs' best players are deeply socially awkward people.
Yes.
So there you go. That's the whole story. I don't remember why I accosted you with that information, but now you have it.
Yes, I brought it up, I think. But it was in the story of the Alamo in San Antonio.
The Alamo. Yeah. We're in like three stories.
It's great. So, at any rate, to wrap the Alamo in Texas story, basically everybody at – it's like the last stand, right? So people in Texas are starting to, like, try and get away from the Mexican army and shit like that, right? But people are still defending the Alamo. So overnight, they try and, like, you know, make things a little more peaceful, a little more calm. Doesn't work. So in the morning, I believe the Mexicans attacked first. Overrun the mission. Everybody fucking dies. There's like monuments everywhere. The chapel still stands. So if you like look up images of the Alamo, like you'll get like the chapel picture.
Okay.
So that's
that's the building.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's what's left. Basically, it's in the middle of downtown San Antonio. You know, remember the Alamo, all that shit. So that's like our, you know, independence movement. And then near Houston's where they actually won independence. And we sent a young mulatto lass into the camp of the Mexicans and seduced and kept the general up late and allowed him to be beaten is how the legend goes.
Wow, that's one hell of a legend.
Yeah.
I'm a little dumbstruck by that. I didn't know that one part. I didn't know that. What, you clearly didn't gain independence for very long.
No, I don't really know what happened or why we decided to join the fucking Union, but
ship the Yankees.
Whatever. Yeah.
They came over and they were like, oh, we'll kill all of you if you don't join our union.
Yeah,
and
nice like, state you got here.
Didn't we just, yeah.
Be ashamed if you didn't unionize.
You guys got a constitution? been doing just fine without the Constitution. Thanks. No, no, you need this Constitution. I would live for the day that Texas broke away from this country. That would be really interesting.
It would be nice. I mean, there's been a secession movement probably since.
Do you think it really would be economically feasible, or would it be a nightmare for the first 20 or 30 years? Because I think it's that.
I think, by and large, at least for Texas, and I could be a little biased here, but we have an extremely large economy.
Sure. So does California, though.
Right. But I think they've got a lot of other
That's
compounding
true.
issues that would yeah. cause problems.
Yeah. Fair
so,
enough.
So right. at least for Texas, I think it might be a fucking disaster for like 5 years, but I think we'd be all right.
Well, yeah, I would ultimately like to see that. I think, oh man, erase the state. Well, there you go. I don't know. I was thinking about, man, it would be really nice if New York City seceded. And I stopped myself. I was like, what? Where would the money come from?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how they calculate wealth. But I'm sure Manhattan comes up as like a very wealthy district, whatever you want to call it, province. But like, it's not community wealth, you know.
Yeah.
It's privately held wealth, and they all decided to like live in this one area for one reason or another. But it has nothing to do with like autarky, you know. Like it has nothing to do with like being able to go out and survive.
Right.
When all is said and done. So I stopped myself and I was like, we kind of keep leeching on the rest of you.
Yeah.
because I guess we can't handle our own shit and kick out all the fucking robber barons that live here, including all the people from other countries who buy up all the real estate and make it extremely expensive and use these houses as summer homes, these houses that overlook Central Park. It's kind of wild what's happening in this city. It really is. There's a whole lot of like low-key war going on in the city. Everything from gentrification to the fact that the real wage hasn't gone up, but the minimum wage keeps going up.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. It's going to be really interesting.
So how does Manhattan differ from Queens? I've never been to Queens, so.
You've never been to Queens? Queens is a city, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's Queens is a city. It's hard to say. It's not a suburb because it is its own city. And if you looked at Long Island City, which is in Queens, you'd be like, yeah, this is clearly a city. It's got the gigantic buildings and like it's still clearly part of the New York metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
But like Queens is, I think there's like, let me just fact check this here. But the population of Queens is, in the borough of Queens, and this is not including the sort of like outer part, but in the borough of Queens, there's 2.3 million people.
Holy fuck.
That's like, yeah, that's more than most cities. That's a 2017 statistic. So maybe bump it up to like, you know, 2.4 million at this point. It is a city. And I don't really, it's weird because I don't, now that you ask me that, I don't really know how to describe Queens as a city because it's so big. It's the largest borough by far. I mean, we go all the way from, are you looking at a map of it? Because it's like,
I was looking up Houston just for comparison.
What's Houston like?
It's sprawling. So it's 2.3 million people in city of. But God, I don't even know what the fucking number is for like the Houston area. It's massive.
Yeah, I was gonna say we don't really have a Queens metropolitan area. That's just the, you know, New York metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
But literally within the boundary of Queens, there's 2.4 million people. And like you could tell because it's arguably more crowded than Manhattan in some spots.
Gotcha.
And it's definitely dirtier and older.
Mm, okay.
You could just tell this city just I guess I call it a city, Queens. You could just kind of tell that it's gone into disrepair in favor of the bougie Brooklynites and the Manhattan business people.
Is it like a poor man's Brooklyn?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to to put it is it's like a poor man's Brooklyn, but we have some really rich people here. I mean, this is where Trump is from.
Exactly.
You know, we got Jamaica States. I love going. I actually do recommend when people go to New York, if they go through Queens, just to drive through Jamaica Estates, because like it is like Hollywood. It's weird because it's
good part of Hollywood or the bad part of Hollywood.
I mean, the part everybody, because I don't really have never been to Hollywood, but
part
of Hollywood that everybody thinks Hollywood is.
Like
Kanye West mansions
and
hookers doing blow and stuff. Well, that's Jamaica Estates.
Nice.
There's like 7-8 bedroom houses, and like the only thing that's weird about it is when you see that in California, it's like you said, it's like the word you used for Houston was sprawling. Like you always see the like sprawling, like with the windy road, and there's just like massive estates. Like in Jamaica Estates, they're massive mansions, but they're on city blocks, so
you only get
2 mansions or 4 mansions, depending on the city, like on the entirety of the city block.
Sure.
So it's like, it's just a weird experience because you see these mega mansions, but you can literally like walk alongside them. Like not like in Hollywood where you got to go out and fuck to the fucking wild, you know, you got to go out to the wilderness and look at them from a distance.
Gotcha.
You can go up close here. So anytime anybody comes to Queens, I say, just go through Jamaica States. If you want to like see how wealthy people like can live.
Sure.
Because it's a little tricky in Manhattan because you don't really see how big those, like I was saying, the Central Park apartments, you don't really see how big they are from the outside. But like I've done, you know, gigs, like I've done some gig stuff where one of them is where you like drop food off for people or like groceries.
I thought you were going to say male escort, but that's what.
Yeah. I wish I was a male escort for whoever lived in those buildings. I've gone into 2 of buildings that I would describe like Central Park bordering apartments, even though one of them is not in Central Park, but they are ridiculous. They're like Saudi mansions inside of these fucking
Jesus.
They're ridiculous, but you can't see that from the outside. So when you go to Jamaica Estates, you can actually see they're like huge. They're like, it makes you feel like you're on a fucking plantation. Some of them are actually plantation style. Which is crazy to me because I don't even think there would have been plantations up here, but that just shows you the ideology of the person who built it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, oh they were God. One of the guys. Yeah, well, I'm originally from Virginia.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
family moved up here in the 1840s.
You think we can fit a couple of oak trees out there?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It is. It's wild. See, that's the kind of shit I would have told you to come see. Because it's not the shit that everybody sees that you could see any day. That's a pain. Let's be honest, a pain in the ass to see. Like who going to the Empire State Building takes a fucking hour and a half just to get in.
We didn't do
to
that.
Be able to get this site. You know, going to the Statue of Liberty is cool, I guess. Like she's green. That's cool. But like she's a statue, and that's also cool. I don't know. I would have been like, no, let's go to this dive bar.
That's what I was really into, honestly.
Experience
but we had the fucking kids.
The city. I always feel like the thing with that's true. When you have the kids, you got to go and do the stuff that they remember so that they can come back and do all the stuff you couldn't do.
Exactly.
but that's just how it is. Like, go and experience the city. Like, I don't get the whole tourist thing because I, as somebody who is from the city, I'm from Queens. But like, if argument comes to argument, I'm from the city.
Right.
Like, I never once seen any of those things.
Really?
Never once have I been to the top of the Empire State Building. Never once have I been to see the Statue of Liberty. And I'm probably a little bit of an outlier here, but I can't be that much of an outlier here because everybody here is working. So I don't know who's going out and seeing these fucking tourist traps.
Not even like for school trips.
No, for my school trip was pretty cool. We went up to Albany to go and check out how the government works, and then we went to the Catskills, which was really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. The government stuff was whatever, although the buildings are really beautiful. The Catskills was dope.
Well,
that was really fun.
As an outsider, I would recommend going to the Statue of Liberty, not because of the statue.
I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah, but the view is pretty fucking nice.
Well, that's true. Although the water is a nightmare. The water is definitely not as nice as wherever the water where you're at is. Did you get a chance to, like, just feel how fucking cold it is even during the middle of the summer?
No. I have no desire to do that. The water looks fucking gross, so I'm out.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I totally get it. It's gross. It is gross water. Good fishing, but gross water.
There you go.
Actually, don't know if you can fish there.
I don't know if I'd recommend it.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
So we're running out of time, and we've fucking rambled a lot. So I want to get more to, like, what makes Bird Bird, right? So Bird, you're still in school, right?
I'm almost done.
Do you have
my way out?
A bachelor's, or are you getting your master's?
So, well, I guess I shouldn't speak too soon, but I am getting the bachelor's. I am applying for the graduate school.
Gotcha.
If they accept me is a different thing altogether. If I get accepted, I may still not go because I need to get work experience. But gotcha. Yeah, that's where I'm at. So who knows?
And so you are a veritable expert, at least as far as I'm concerned, on the Uyghur situation and all things China, it seems. So what do you start studying? Is it like international relations, law, something like that?
The plan is to turn it into international relations.
Okay.
Not international law, but international relations. That's what it would hopefully turn into.
Okay.
But because the way that I don't know my school system works, I don't go to a fucking Ivy League school, so I wasn't like bred to to perform a certain specific task, but. Yeah, I don't know what the future is. I'd love to. I told my professors this who have to write me recommendation letters. I told them, like, if you bring me up to whoever has to approve my going into graduate school, like, make sure you tell them that I am going to follow this Uyghur thing because I am for as long as I possibly can. The challenge, of course, is I do not speak Mandarin, so I can't read any of the documents. I don't speak Cantonese for any of the other Chinese-related materials. I don't speak Uyghur, if Uyghur is in fact still a language, which I don't even know whether or not it is. But Mandarin, I will never speak. So that's becoming an issue, I think.
Yeah.
I'll only get so far. And also, man, when you deal with China, it's like dealing with, I don't know, Iran or the United States or Russia or, you know, any of the countries where you could straight up just disappear if you're from another country and they think you're a spy. Like, you know, I'm never going to be a journalist, but still, I don't really know how much of that pile of horseshit I want to put my foot into, if you know what I mean.
Hopefully not all of it. Yeah.
What would be great would be to take the degree and put it into international relations and bully NGOs.
There you go.
Which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So hopefully I could go and do that or something of that nature.
So this track of education seems quite political in nature. So did you always want to do this, or were you like, when you were a wee little chick still in the nest, like, were you an anarchist, or did you like make the switch somewhere in school?
Today I was walking down the street and I was like, holy shit, am I an anarchist? I was like, wait,
I think
a
you
minute,
are.
But I don't think it works in all situations. So I was like, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't work. We're here now. What do you believe now? And I'm like yelling at myself. I don't know.
So you're a New York crazy person is what you're saying.
I straight up talk. So especially now, you know, my current situation, what has been the recent development in my personal life. I have nothing to lose. So I just like straight up go around and like I'll talk to myself out loud, like I have headphones in so it doesn't look crazy to anybody else, but I have a terrible time talking in my own head, so I'll straight up mutter to myself or have full conversations. Never bothered me. I never cared. It's just how I think, but like it's also probably a nervous tick. But like, yeah, I'll straight up be talking to myself on the street about stuff, like how I really feel about a situation. You gotta be your own best friend, you know. Or at least imagine them.
Yeah, I can commiserate that. Yeah, if you don't have enough best friends, just imagine one.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine you're your own best friend and not in your own body, but you're someone else. yeah, I'm definitely a strange cat. Like, I admit that. I admit that wholeheartedly. Was I always an anarchist? I will tell you this. From the time I can remember first becoming political, and that I guess simply means taking an interest in society around me, I was a libertarian since then, because my introduction to that – I haven't told this story in a while. My introduction to that was George Carlin. And it was specifically the Jammin' in New York, which is funny because I share a very similar story to Scott Horton. Jammin' in New York changed, like, fundamentally who I was as a human being, in that it made me start actually giving a shit about the larger society around me. I really do credit George Carlin with, like, probably maturing me by about 3 or 4 years just with that information. So that's where it begins. So yeah, I would say ever since I was political, I have been someone who, see, I'm less, and I've always been this way. I'm less like a leave other people alone. I'm really not interested in leaving other people alone. Like, I'd like to have a community with you and hopefully we could, like, you know, come together. And sometimes we have to, and I don't mean this literally, but sometimes we have to pressure one another to do things, like, for a community. I've always been okay with this. I know some people who are anarchists are like, well, I probably wouldn't even go that far with it. I would, and that's why I have trouble taking the label, because I see people who assumedly do it a lot better than I do and use the label. I feel it would be disingenuous, but it is the closest thing. I have always been somebody who, I've never really been so much interested in the positives, or maybe you could call them the negatives. I've never been so interested in the positives of, well, here's how the system works, here's how we make it do well. I've always been interested in the negatives of, well, here's how, you know, fuck my system, here's how the current system isn't working.
Right.
And I think that's from George Carlin, because one thing about George was, I don't really know what George Carlin's political affiliations were, because at times he says he was a socialist. At times he says he was a Marxist. At times he says he was a conservative. Like, he's like Christopher Hitchens. Like, it's very difficult to pin down the ideology behind the guy. But regardless, I always feel like I sound a lot like him when I say things, because he was a constant critic. And that's why I guess it's difficult for me to even say, like, was I always political? But I've definitely always been critical. And so I probably would say I'm an anarchist by critique, because anytime I see something, I go, that's wrong. That doesn't work right. And even things that I believe, I know full well, if they haven't been tested and have worked right always, then there's going to be problems. So I'd rather just critique everything than kind of set my foot down until I'm ready.
Sure.
So that's that.
So is that sort of what led you to the international relations thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the Uyghur project led me to it.
So you were doing that prior to deciding.
So I've always been in political science, because political science is just, I love political science. I've told people before, I'm a freak of nature. Like, I like watching debates and the impeachment hearings have been a lot of fun to watch. I don't know why that is for me. I just really deeply enjoy them. So I've always been like that, because I think I like, again, I'm a critical person, and what is a debate? But really, it's two individuals critiquing one another. So sure. I guess it's always been that way. Oh man, I'm blanking on the question you asked because of that.
Fuck, I blanked too. The Uyghur thing, did that.
Yes, the Uyghur thing. That kind of spurred me into international relations.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll stay in that field, but I've really loved it, and I've learned a whole lot from it. I think what job may come, I will dedicate myself to. But yeah, international relations has always been very interesting to me, because how do you do it? You know, how do you even – I view the UN as – like a redheaded stepchild. Like, it is an attempt to answer.
At bare minimum.
Yeah. It's an attempt to answer a problem. When it was created, you have to remember, I mean, like, it was in response to World War II.
Sure.
And sure. I mean, it gets its origins from the Red Cross, which was a response to, I can't remember the name of the specific battle where the guy was inspired to go and form the Red Cross, but like, it was these organizations were founded to stop atrocities. And even though today, a lot of the times they allow atrocities to happen, I would never say the UN commits atrocities because it really doesn't have the ability or capability to do anything of the sort. But it certainly allows them to happen, goes untouched. The ICC is another example where they don't prosecute white people for some reason. They only prosecute African warlords, which is a big issue, even though there's literally a dictatorship in Belarus. We should probably do something about that. As far as the international community goes, I don't mean war, but like there's a lot of other options to get that literal guy to ease up. That's what's always interested me, is because I guess I view international relations as a pragmatic way to address the almost unchallenged power of the state in general, and then certain states in particular. And whether or not it's effective in doing that, I really don't think we can tell, because international relations is only as old as the UN at most. I mean, if you want to go, I mean, there's certain organizations that existed to kind of broker international peace before that happened, but the UN is very young and it's the first real attempt to try and do that. And the idea that I can go and, if I was to work for them or with them or sort of just be interested in the field, it's all about telling states to stop fucking around with individual people. At least for me, that's my interest, is stop hurting this group of people. Here's how. Here's what we recommend. We're a whole community of nations. You know, we're individuals, but there is a community of nations that exists that can kind of encourage people to do things without blowing anybody up. I mean, it's happened before and it can happen again, and it only really is getting better. I view that as my way to help, ultimately.
Nice. I dig it. So, I'm out of bullshit. What else you got? Anything? Did we miss anything important?
What did we do? We did Black Hebrew Israelites, New York, we did me. No, that seems pretty good.
So I've heard you're still coming to Childeberg, right?
I sure am coming to Childeberg. I'll be there before Childeberg starts.
Oh, okay. Nice. So, it has been alleged that I may have to give you and, an armless orangutan a ride. So,
oh, that would be interesting to be in the back seat with him. That would be it would be a nightmare for you and very funny for us. How far is the drive from where you are to Childeberg, roughly? Because you have to remember, here's something I noticed. There's this old saying about Europe and the United States, and it's basically that 100 years is a long time for an American, and 100 miles is a long distance for a European. But I think, for Texans, 100 miles must be like,
that's like going across town.
I know, I sneezed and now I'm 100 miles away. So, but for me, 100 miles is like, I could get to Philadelphia, I think, at 100 miles, I could get to Boston in 100 miles. It's still very European over here. I'm afraid of long distances. How long are we talking?
From my house to downtown Austin is 2 hours.
That's bad. That's a long time. What do you do in the car for 2 hours when you're not driving? I literally wouldn't know what to do.
You listen to Erase the State and to the Fadcast.
Are we going to listen to our own podcasts?
We're not that lame. I don't smell my own farts, but I mean, we can listen to other people's.
Maybe that's why we have so many Midwestern and Southern listeners, is because they're all driving when they listen to us.
That's probably it. That's when I do it. Well, I don't drive.
Well, shout out to all the Erase the State drivers. Drive safely and observe the speed limit for the purposes of not being pulled over, but exercise your best judgment.
Ah, fuck that speed limit. We don't give the best advice here on the Erase the State.
Sure.
So it's 136 miles-ish.
That's ridiculous for me. Like, that is very far, because the nearest deli is about 200 feet. So
did you ever get some banh mi sandwiches?
Oh, fuck yeah, I did. I actually did, and I didn't tell you about it, but I got banh mi unrelated to the one we were talking about. I got banh mi again, like, recently. Nice. Those things are great.
See, I told you.
They're pretty damn good, I have to say. I just thought it was just a hero, and it basically is, but it's
It's a Vietnamese cool. hero.
Yeah, it's a Vietnamese hero, which is always better.
Fucking solid.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's the best.
So, I'm glad you came on. Thanks for joining me.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad. The little listeners, you know what the fuck to do. Find a friend. Make them listen. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your dog. See you next week. Peace.
Bye.
Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky-tonk filled with one-night stands. Take a tell him fire with a gonzo steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.